Nein.
The bitching exhaust doesn't work. All right. The lights don't work, and we're on a narrow trail right by the river. What do we do? A slut here can get out and walk in front of us. How about that, Rota?
Oh, don't like walking, court baby. Like sitting. You know that. Like the way I sit on your big...
Strasser touched her soft lips with the muzzle of the Stetchkin.
Take care, Rosa. Be real careful what you say.
Good camp here. No way they can get around us, and there's only this track. Be easy to guard it. What do you say, boss?
I didn't say a thing, Rafe. Let's call my father.
He nudged Rosa.
Out, bitch.
Mildred spotted the sign on the top floor of a row of weather-beaten stores.
Look, there.
Doc read from the faded sign.
Trail riders. Off-trail bikes.
Two-wheel wags you push with pedals. Seen them around a couple of hills. Hard work. Is that what they are?
Let's go see.
Mildred led the way up a dangerous, rotting flight of stairs, the treads painted in alternate strips of red, gold, and green. The door was gone, and the interior gaped silently in the semi-darkness. Night had almost come, but they could still see the piles of tangled metal.
Well, I'll be...
Stop here for the night. If Strasser's gone, then he's gone. Be up at first light. And then we can see what we got here.
When Rosa came out of the night, tottering on her high heels to announce that the road ahead was irrevocably blocked by a huge slide of red earth, the driver, Mendoza, turned to his boss.
I knew that all along. You didn't let me tell you.
You're right. I didn't let you tell me.
Strasser snapped his neck with a single savage blow to his nape.
Throw that in the river, and we'll camp here.
From the piles of bicycles that were cluttered together, it took well over an hour to come up with enough serviceable machines for all six of them. Even then, to their mutual disgust, there were only four solo bikes, which left Mildred and Doc as the reluctant collaborators on an electric blue tandem. Breakfast had been some strips of tough jerky washed down with water. Ryan was still worried that the devious Strasser might appear from some dark hole and strike at them. He couldn't believe that his enemy had truly gotten clear away. Fortunately, the tires on the bikes were a rot-proof plastic material and stood being pumped up without more than a couple going stubbornly flat. The store held a display of service manuals for the machines, so readying them presented few problems. Riding them was a different matter. Jack took to the new skill with his customary ease, quickly discovering the excitement of wheelies. Ryan, Christy, and JB coped without too much difficulty. Back in Harmonyville as a young girl, Christy had ridden a beatable bicycle. The old truth held good.
Once you've done it, you never really forget how.
The bikes had 16 gears, and that took some mastering. But within a half hour, all four could ride up and down the main street of the settlement and turn without falling. Doc and Mildred didn't find it so easy. First off, there was the problem of who was going to ride up front and steer, and who would sit at the back and just provide the pedal power.
I'm going at the front, as the senior partner.
No way, Doc. I'm younger, so I should be doing the steering.
Doc considered that.
Then I provide all of the power. Perhaps that is the best idea after all. Very well, madam. I agree.
Mildred had second thoughts.
No, wait a minute. I'm not sure I want your nose up my ass.
I assure you that such a feeling is entirely mutual, madam.
Why has one part got a bar across it and the other doesn't?
It was a fair question, and it stopped the argument in mid-flow.
Well, from what I recall, never having been a cyclist, the piece with the crossed bar is for the men. One without it is for ladies, to accommodate their skirts.
So, the man takes the lead.
Looks that way, Doc.
Well, now that I think about it, I have a feeling that most of these tandems were made this way. Suppose it was to spare the lady's dignity.
Doc bowed to her.
Then let us both hazard our dignity, dear lady, and risk all on this hobby horse. Shall we go?
They went. Christy shook her head, fighting to control her laughter.
Like drunk Siamese twins.
Like gators with tails tied.
Like Doc and Mildred, doing the best they can.
With Court Strasser so far ahead of them, there was no longer any kind of pressure. No rush, no hurry. It wasn't until late morning that they'd mastered their machines enough to risk the steep descent down the switchback towards the tumbling spray of the invisible river. Jack was in the lead, swerving confidently from side to side, often taking his hands off the faded chrome of the bars. The others watched him with mixed emotions.
He sure is good on that machine.
I would personally take some pleasure in the cocky little devil falling off on his ass.
Sounds like you're cut up, Doc.
Cut up? Not even Tomás de Torquemada and the finest brains of the Spanish Inquisition could have invented such a subtle instrument of torture as this knife-edged saddle.
Shut up and work. At least we'll soon be going downhill.
Is that going to be better?
Sure, Doc.
Looking ahead, Mildred reached for the caliper brakes.
Hang on, everybody. Here we go!
The good news is that nobody's been seriously hurt.
The cycling expedition had eventually ground to a halt around two-thirds of the way down the vicious bends of the trail. Not all of them had made it that far. Jack had gone first, grinning over his shoulder. He didn't see the half-buried length of rusted girder. It had jammed his front wheel.
Whoa! Whoa!
And the boy had gone flying over the bars, turning a complete somersault in the air. Only his superb reflexes had enabled him to control his body, twisting so he broke the fall by landing half on his shoulder. He rolled with the impact, sliding in a cloud of dust, finishing perilously close to a sheer drop to the river. JB came off next, skidding sideways and losing control. Stepping from the fallen bike, he brushed the dust off his pants.
The horse was easier.
Christy had a brake cable snap, sending her wheeling faster and faster down the steep hill, with Ryan pedaling at breakneck speed to catch up with her. He threw his arm out for her to hang on, both bicycles slewing sideways in a clatter of loose stones and sand. Ironically, it was Doc and Mildred who avoided an accident. Moving sedately downhill, the brakes squealing, they both leaned in on the sharp corners. Their slower pace left them well behind the others, but the chain of falls eventually caught them up with everyone. Ryan brought them all to a halt.
If we go on, I reckon someone could get badly hurt.
Jack was trying to get the clots of crimson dust from his tangle of white hair, examining the graze on his elbow.
Back's fine, but fucking dangerous. Let's walk.
Trail still shows that arm a wag heading on.
The deep ruts of the studded tires were unmistakable, following the winding track. The armorer had to shout to be heard above the noise of the river. Looking back upstream, they could see the jagged remains of the locomotive in the carriages, still being pounded by the merciless water. Downstream, it looked as though the gorge widened out a little, and the fast-flowing current became a tad less lethal. On level ground again, they were able to ride their bicycles. Everyone found the going much easier, though Jack was noticeably more cautious and didn't indulge himself in so many flashy stunts.
Looks like it might lead south!
What?
Christy shook her head to show the sound of the rapids had drowned out his voice.
Said river goes south!
He took his left hand off the bars to point and nearly lost control of the bike.
Whoa! Fire blast!
Shame these little boogers don't float. Could just drift along all the way to the Grandee.
The idea had already crossed Ryan's mind, and he'd been trying to scan the frothing edge of the river as they rode along, inviting the risk of a fall. But there'd been only an occasional piece of floating driftwood, chewed and splintered by the sharp-toothed boulders. The cliffs loomed far above them, the orange and gray stone dappled with patches of bright green, where small bushes had managed to establish themselves in narrow cracks. A colony of swallows darted at the top of the ravine, etching crazy shadows against the blue of the morning sky. It was a beautiful place, and Ryan let his thoughts wander, as they did with increasing frequency, to his future. A future that he liked to think of in terms of settling somewhere with Christy. Somewhere with a small house, well fortified. Good grass and sweet water.
Ryan!
Jack's voice shrilled into the middle of Ryan's daydream, jerking into the reality of where they were and who they were chasing. The boy had been pedaling a little ahead of the others, vanishing around one of the steep curves that followed the Oxbow River. Moments after his disappearance, the boy came back, hair flowing over his shoulders, like a torrent of incandescent fire, calling out a warning to the others. The huge earth slip, 200 yards across, made it obvious why Strasser had abandoned the Armawag, and the clear